I'm about to take you on a journey.
I introduce the one, the only.
I got a special treat for you.
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Faith Center Flashbacks. This is your host, Jason Norfleet. Here we will bring you the preached word from members, guests, and friends of the ministry from years past. Today's message is from Mother Madeline Norfleet, recorded on July 13th, 2008, From Pain to Praise. Let's listen in.
I honor God this morning for who He is to me. I honor the Lord for being saved. I stand here saved, and I have a mind to continue on with the Lord. I honor Bishop Norfleet in his absence on today. I didn't know that this would be the place that I would be standing on today. And then when I found out that this was the place that I would be standing on today, the Lord began to deal with me in a different way than He has dealt with me in the past, or may I say, He has dealt with me in a way that I am not comfortable with, because I am used to the Lord giving me what to say way in advance. And I get my computer and I sit down and I type different things. And that's where my trust relies. And so I did what I usually do when I know that I'm going to come before the people of God. I get my Bible. I get my resource materials. I get my computer. And I sit down and I say, Lord, what is it that you want me to say? And so I did that, and the Lord began to give me, I saw all of this, that I thought I was supposed to be saying to you. And after I was about 6-7 pages, the Lord said to me, now that's for you. And I said, oh, but I know some people who can really use that word. And I looked at the word and I started laughing and I said, oh, that's good. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Woo. They're going to love that one. They're going to jump up on that one. They're going to say, oh, tell them, Sister Madeline. They're going to say, that's a word right there. Woo. Here's $20 on that word. At about 12 o'clock, the Lord said, close it. That's for you. Don't say nothing about what I said to you tonight. That's between me and you. And it put me in a peculiar situation. Hashamba. Because now I don't have nothing that I figured out on my own. I don't have nothing that I can come to you and say, oh, this is a good idea. Listen, look at, if we look at it like this, and we look at it like that, and if we add the Greek to it, and if we put the Hebrew to it, and if we look at the way Paul looked at it, you're going to have to go in just like I did. We come to church Sunday after Sunday. And we say, give me, give me, give me, give me. And we don't want to put an investment in. And if we do put in an investment, we want our return to be so huge. We want God to just give, give, give. And the Lord says, but do you really trust me? We talk about trust. I'm talking to somebody already. We talk about, I will trust you. I trust you, God. I believe in Jesus. He saved me from my sin one day. He delivered me from darkness. We talk a good talk, but when we're out there on a dime, when we're out there and life is happening to us without a plan. When you could not have figured in this situation right here. Why? Because it happened on a dime. It happened as a result of something else, as a result of something else. And now here you are with the trickle-down effect of having things happen. And God says, you're not always going to be able to grab for your phone and call your friends. You're not going to be always able to grab for an encouraging textbook to encourage you. You're going to have to go alone on what you know. You're going to have to cross this Jordan on what God has already done for you, believing that he is not going to let you drown. Can we trust God this morning for a word? I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. And so with that, as I read the Bible to you, as we read the scripture together, we will be preaching this word together. Amen, amen. Turn with me to Psalms, the 28th chapter. Hallelujah. Psalms 28, we're going to read verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down and read 6 and 7. I don't plan to be before you long. You can sit as I read because the reading of the word is the message. Everybody have your Bibles? Amen, amen. Psalm 28, and it says, To you I will cry. Mm-hmm. O Lord, my rock. What does that say to me? To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. And do I have anybody in here that is not ashamed to say or to admit that they have had to cry? Do I have maybe another couple of folk that will admit that you had to do it more than a couple of times? Do I have somebody here that, like me, has had to cry without noise? In other words, you had to cry, you couldn't even let nobody know you was crying. You couldn't even have, I mean, you had to smile through that cry. You had to hold your head up through that cry. It seems like sometimes the most painful kind of cry you can do is a dry cry. I watch mothers who heard the news that their child had been killed in a car accident or shot on a street corner. And I watched them as they grabbed their bodies, and it's not that they didn't love their child, but in the grief of the moment, in the anguish of the moment, they lost their ability to make any sound at all, and they said, oh God. And those are the kinds of cries. When we finish ranting and raving, when we finish accusing and screaming, when we get down to it with God and we finish talking and we're finished complaining and we're finished comparing our lives to the rich man's lives and we're finished comparing our job with the next man's job and when we're finished doing all the things that we see other people do and we're left with a quiet cry that says, Lord, this is for real. I need you. To you, I will cry, oh Lord, my what? My rock, my solid place. Mm-hmm. You see, there's some places that you can cry to, you can call a helpline, and you can cry, or you can make a complaint, or you can make your concerns known. And it's not a solid place, because when they hang up with you, they're on to the next thing. But when you cry out to God, He is a fortress. He is a solid place. He is, somebody say, He is a constant place. In other words, God will always be there. Somebody say, He will always be there. Oh, I need you to encourage the person next to you that thought that he had left you and tell them He will always be there. He said in His word He won't leave you. He will always be there. I will cry to you who is my rock. Do not, now here comes a request of this cry. He says, do not be silent to me. God, I really, really, really need to hear from you now. Oh, Lord, look at my situation. I'm in trouble again. Anybody ever have to say, here we go again? I thought I was out of the cycle, but I see that this is the same pitfall. I see that this is the same situation that made me fall the last time. How did I get here? God, I'm crying out with my whole being this time. Lord, don't be silent now. I need to hear from you. Anybody need to hear from God today? Yeah. Oh, you know, I love it when I can talk to my senior people that have, my friends that have been in ministry a long time, and those that have been preaching the word for a long time. I love it when I can talk to them and I can lean on their wisdom. But I found something strange the other day. I was talking to a friend of mine who's been preaching for many, many, many years. And they are a noted preacher, and they can preach at a moment's notice. And I don't think they noticed, though I didn't make any mention of what they said to me, but I did observe that they said it. They said, Madeline, I'm to the point in my life where I don't even feel like preaching anymore. And I thought to myself, it took me back. They continued to talk, but it took me back because I thought, I said, that's all you do. You preach and people get saved and people get delivered and people get healed, and now something has happened in your life that would make you open your mouth to say, I don't want to do what the only thing that I know that God called me to do. This person needed a word from the Lord. I know you've been saved a long time. The reason why I use them as an example is because it can happen to the best of us. It can happen to those who have been saved for 10 years. Yeah, it's not just those that just found God on yesterday. Yeah, it's those that have been reading your Bible every night and getting on your knees every day. The devil will challenge you too. Your day, there will be a day that will come where you question yourself and say, oh God, what is this that I am facing? I don't even have the energy to do the only thing that I know to do. So what am I going to do? I'm going to ask you, hear me, I'm going to ask you to speak. See, some of us, we just go, we just like to energize a bunny, we just go. When my husband told me that I was going to be speaking, I said, you really need to get somebody else to speak, because I got issues. I'm not ready, because I haven't studied a particular sermon for 6 days, and now I feel like I'm ready. And so you really need to, and I'll help you pick somebody. And he ignored me with a greatness. And I just was comfortable in the fact that he was listening to me, but I found out that he really wasn't paying me a whole lot of attention. He said, don't talk to me about your problems. Go to God. You call yourself a minister. You call yourself a preacher. Ask God for a word. So I said, Father, don't be silent to me. And then what did he do? Hear me. There's a lesson in this. I'm going somewhere. He talked to me and he talked to me and he talked to me. And then he said, shh. Don't tell that. This is going to help you. I'll give you what to say when the time is. Sometimes we're so busy crying. We're so busy throwing spasms that we miss the whole point. I remember not too long ago, I was watching a movie and the title stuck with me. And the title intrigued me before I even watched the movie because I automatically associated it with things that the saints go through. But I didn't know what the storyline was about. And the title of this movie was Things Lost in the Fire. Mm-hmm. Things Lost in the Fire. And as I watched that movie, as I watched how that thing unfolded, and it was a lovely young lady, and she had a wonderful husband and two beautiful children, and she had a nice home, and he had a wonderful job, and she was gifted, and the children were intelligent, and they had lots of things and lots of stuff, and they were able to go to the parks and they enjoyed one another, and they had all the trimmings that life could afford. And one day the home that they lived in that housed all of their wonderful possessions burnt up in a fire. And so what they did was they realized that, we need to replace some of these things that we lost in the fire. So they made a very natural list, a very worldly, a very tangible list of things that they had lost in the fire. Lost the children's bikes, lost the car that was in the garage, lost the money that was on the kitchen table, lost the birth certificates for the children, lost the insurance policy, lost this and lost that. And then one day they put the list aside and they forgot about the list. And out of nowhere, the husband does a good deed and gets shot in the process and dies. And now the woman who was concerned with the list, who was overwhelmed by the cares of the world, where their priority was doing an assessment of things and stuff, now lost the thing that she really should have been treasuring. And I thought about that story, and I thought about we as Christians and how we complain and how we talk about the gas prices and we talk about the lack of money and we talk about the fact that this is happening and that is happening, and we fail to realize that even though I lost all of these things in the fire, I still have my God. See, sometimes when you take when you pay so much attention to the things around you, you will lose focus on the things that are important until you lose what's really important. So the Lord sometimes allows us to lose some things. You hearing me? So that you can recognize him. Somebody say, recognize him. So David cries out. He says, I need to hear you, Lord. Don't be silent. Don't be silent to me. I come like the am, or else I will become like those who go down to the pit. In other words, or else I will die. You didn't die in your fire. You went through the fire. Your clothes got singed. Your smell of fire. Somebody can actually look at you and tell you've been through something. But you still have, it didn't touch your heart because God is yet in your heart. Verse 2 says, hear the voice of my supplication. When I cry, there he is again, when I orate, when I say to you, hear, when I cry to you, and then this is what captured my heart in these few verses that I'm going to share with you on today. When I lift up my hands toward you, or toward your holy place. I know that things may not be going my way, but when I can think about my, when I can stop thinking about my way and the way that I see it over there and the way that I think it ought to be done, and when I can turn my heart toward you, oh God, then my focus has changed, and my heart and the things that I'm supposed to be doing will shift. Drop down with me to verse 6, which is the key, which is the praise that will happen when you lift your hands to God. Verse 6 says, blessed be the Lord. There's wisdom in blessing the Lord in whatever situation you find yourself in. I know that it is hard. Listen to me. I know that it's hard. I know you've been through some stuff. I know that you are angry. I know that you feel deceived. I know that you feel forsaken. But there is a blessing in blessing the Lord. If somebody could capture the wisdom of this thing, the Lord will lift you up out of the situation that you're in, this mental situation that you are in on this morning. If you recall, when we were singing earlier today, when we began to talk about great is his faithfulness toward us, we began to be lifted because we began to celebrate God and not celebrate our problems. So verse 6, he says, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, the voice of my petition, the voice of my prayers. And my Bible has an explanation mark, has I think it's what it's called, an explanation mark after a point after it that says this you have to put great emphasis on. Verse 7 says, and this is the verse that the Lord dealt with me with, the Lord is my strength. Somebody say, the Lord is my strength. Somebody that I just want somebody to say that until you understand that it is not the paycheck. Say, the Lord is my strength. I want you to say it until you realize it's not in your husband or your wife. Say, the Lord is my strength. Even when things look like they're never going to turn around for me, say, the Lord is my strength. Yeah, you got to do it and understand, like David began to understand. It's not, I don't have any strength of my own. I've depleted all of my strength. I've lost everything in the last fire that I went through. I lost everything in the last trial that I went through. But when I bless the Lord, hallelujah, I realize that the Lord is my strength and my protection. He is my shield. My heart, somebody that has misplaced their heart. Somebody has put their heart in the hands of someone who cannot keep it. Somebody has to go back and regain your heart. There is a part of you that you gave away that only belonged to God, because it is the part that you trust with. And when you misplace trust, it is certain to be abused. It is certain to be mishandled. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped, E-D. I am helped. It is finished. Oh, wait a minute. And I am helped, and it is done. Somebody say, and it is finished. And Sister Madeline, it's hard for me to say that it is finished when I am looking at the bills on the kitchen table that says overdue. But you have to look at the situation and say, God said it is finished because he's already helped me. He's helped me. Therefore, since I already know where my help has come from, therefore my heart greatly rejoices. See, that is the key that we have to get to. That is the place that we have to get to as believers, as Christians, where you get to the place that in spite of what has happened to you, you trust God, you believe God, you appreciate him and recognize him for what he has already done. You put your problems in the past tense in your mind. They're already, I don't care what you see in the natural. God, before God ever does something, manifests something in the natural, he has already performed it in the spirit. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. That's where we mess up. We forget to rejoice. We forget to lift a praise. We forget to raise a praise. And with my song, that's why I just wanted to go there this morning with that song, because sometimes you can sing your way into an understanding of what God has done and will do for you. And I will, and with my song, I will what? I need somebody to understand this. Somebody needs to get a song. I'm not talking about you need to go find your old CD of Mahalia Jackson. Somebody need to get a song in their spirit. Somebody need to get a mantra. Somebody needs to get a praise down on the inside. Oh, my God. I can understand why. I can understand why Jay Moss wrote the song and said, there's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself. And then he says there's a holler coming up from the depths of my soul. See, when we begin to praise God out of the depths of our soul, when we begin to make a song, when we begin to sing a song, David would take a song and he may sing about the things that were going wrong in his life at the time, but every time he would turn that thing around and he would turn it from a painful situation to a praise. And so I know you thought I didn't have one, but I do. The title of this message, and I'm almost finished, is From Pain to Praise. I'm not talking about the five-step plan. I'm not talking about after you had 18 months of counseling. I'm talking about going, I recognize I'm crying this morning. I'm depressed this morning. Oh, wait a minute. But the Lord is still on the throne. Oh, but the Lord is still breathing life into my body. Oh, God, I thank you for eyes to see. I thank you for the praise that's down on the inside. When we can generate a praise in the midst of the storm. We need to be able to go directly to a praise. Run with me really quickly and I'm going to be finished. To Psalms 150, and I want to talk to you just a second about how important a praise is. Yeah. It's not something that we have an option to do or not to do, but the Psalms here, and you know the Psalms, it runs through 1 through 150. And the Psalms are filled with, when you hear me even teach or anyone teach on Psalms, you hear of great joys in this book of Psalms. You hear of great sorrow in Psalms. It's all in there. Everything that can affect your life is there. You hear of the cries and the moans and the tears and the trials and the pain and even the pleasures. You hear of all of those things in this Psalms. But Psalms 50 closes with the pinnacle of praise. Mm-hmm. That no matter what your circumstances are, when you lift up your hands, as we found out in the 28th chapter, the second verse of the 28th chapter, when you lift up your hands, when you finally surrender, when you say, okay, God, I give up everything. Father, I'm not holding back. Father, I've moaned, I've cried, I've anguished over this thing. Now I'm going to lift up a praise right in the middle of my circumstances. When you lift your hand, God will move on your behalf. This 50th Psalm here, the word praise is used 13 times. It's only 6 verses long. How do you say something? I believe that the writer here is trying to make a point. The writer here is trying to get you not to forget all of, if you don't remember the fact that my enemies were chasing me, if you forget the fact that my family tried to kill me, if you forget the fact that I had to run in a cave, but the one thing that I want to leave you with is that no matter what you go through, you need to have a praise. Yeah. You must have a praise. I don't care what else you lose in the fire, saints. I don't care who else leaves you. I don't care who else walks away from you. I don't care how much you have to ask somebody for a handout. Don't you lose your praise. Don't you lose it. Don't you remember that. I know. Remember and keep that. The one thing that you must take out, if you have to go back into the burning building, if you have to go back and get something, go back and get your joy. Go back and get that praise, because that praise is going to keep you no matter what. So we have 13 times in this 150th Psalm, the word praise is presented. But out of that, those 13 times, there are 10 times, somebody say 10. Yeah. There are 10 times where they are a commandment. Where this book of closing, this Psalm of closing reminds me of how it's gathering up the summation of what all the writers have been trying to say and trying to get you to see. It reminded me a little bit of the book of Revelation, the last chapter of Revelation, that 22nd chapter of Revelation that leaves me with a closing that the Lord is coming quickly. The reason why it reminded me of that, because in that scripture, in the same short passage of scripture, Christ is quoted as saying, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And so I gathered after reading the book, that last chapter of the book of Revelation, that the message in that was, he's coming and you're not going to know when it's going to happen. So that was the final message in the book of Revelation, the last chapter. Wait a minute, you ain't got to, after I told you all of that stuff, be ready when he comes. Now, let me go back to Psalms. Psalms here in the chapter of closing is telling you no matter how tough it gets, no matter how difficult times may seem, no matter how endless the trial may seem to be, don't forget to praise. It starts with praise. Now, here is the first command. It says, praise the Lord, not, oh, we should all praise the Lord, or let us praise the Lord. It says, praise the Lord. Come on. And then it goes on to talk about, I'm trying to tell you why, and make you see the importance of praising the Lord in all things and why we do it. Praise God in what? His sanctuary. That's why we come to church. That's why we don't go bowling. That's why we don't sign our children up for hockey on Sunday morning, because it is the time of worship. It is the time of praise. You can sign them up for hockey on Saturday. And since they don't like, and since the people that want to do hockey don't have no God, then I don't expect them to. But since you have one and you need him, I expect you and he expects you to be in his house when his service and when we are paying him homage. Yeah. Praise him, commandment, in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. In other words, in everything, in the air, all things, praise him. Praise him for his mighty acts. Why? Because he's already done so much for me. Oh, somebody say, he's already done so much for me. Praise him for history. Praise him for what he's already done. Oh, if you could just rejoice about what he's already done, you won't have so much time to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. God got your tomorrow. Praise him for his mighty act. Another commandment, praise him. A commandment, praise him according to his excellent goodness. There's nothing flawed about him. He is excellent in all his ways. He is great in all his ways. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Everything that you have, every gift that you have, all of your intellect should praise him. It should never exceed him. If you think you're so smart, you can't live without him. I dare you to go in the laboratory and develop a breath. You can't do it. So you might as well praise him with your breath. Praise him with the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tremble, the timbre and the dance. For those of you that you let the devil steal your dance, you say, well, I don't have nothing to dance about. My Bible says that I am to leap for joy. And you say, well, what are you leaping for? Oh, wait a minute. I understand why I'm leaping. I'm not leaping because I don't have any problems. I'm leaping because of what God is going to do for me. I'm dancing because of a promise. I'm dancing because of a commandment. In my dance, there's a praise. In the lifting of my hands, there is liberty. I am liberated when I praise God. I am set free when I wave my hand, and when I put my feet to the floor and I begin to dance, there's victory in that dance. Hallelujah. He sets me free. He sets you free in the dance. So why are you waiting for the tide to turn? If the tide don't turn today, I'm going to dance. Hallelujah. If the problem don't end tonight, I'm going to dance anyhow. I'm going to praise him. It's a commandment, and I will obey the commandments of the Lord. If I can get two people to just jump up and down and give the Lord a praise. Yeah. Some of this stuff, you just need to praise through. Come on. You need to break through. You just need to just kick off your shoes and dance. Don't worry about the situation. All you gotta do is give it to God and say, I'm going for it. I'm giving God everything. I'm giving it up. I'm praising him. I'm gonna dance until it changes. Devil don't want to mess with you while you're dancing, because your focus ain't on him. He can't talk to your mind no more. Because all you can think about is dancing before the Lord. He can't vex you. He can't depress you. He can't turn you down. He can't stop your blessing. Because you're dancing your way into a blessing. Because you're praising your way out of a nasty situation. Because you're praising your way out of debt. Somebody ought to lift up your hands and praise the Lord. It don't have to be a pretty dance. It just have to be one unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody, here's the ultimate act of faith. I don't know if anybody ever thought of doing this, but somebody need to look in their pocketbook if you have it and get a bill. If you don't have a bill, something you owe somebody something, get a bill. And if you don't have a bill, get your checkbook. Hallelujah. We ain't gonna cry about money no more, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm not gonna cry about it no more. I'm gonna hold up my problem and I'm gonna dance before God. Hallelujah. I'm not gonna worship it no more. But I'm gonna hold it up before God. I'm gonna offer up everything, 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 everything. Somebody need to make a commitment unto God. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up before God and then praise with it before Him. In other words, I'm not going to be a slave to the dollar. I'm not going to be slave to this bill anymore. I'm not going to be slave to this piece of paper. I'm not going to be a slave to my job. But I'm going to go forth in dancing. I'm going to go forth in singing. I'm going to go forth in praise. No matter what, the Lord has commanded me to praise. And I will be found praising the Lord. Everybody lift up your hands and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. 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 The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. When you go home, I want you to look around your house. I want you to look up at all around. And I want you to say everything that have breath, praise the Lord. Ah, yes, I don't care if they're saved or they're not saved. I want you to offer it unto God. And say, Lord, I'm not worried about this no more. I'm not concerned about it anymore. Lord, I cried unto you. And then I lifted my hands, and then I bowed back in a praise, and then I gave you my all, then I gave it all up to you, and now I'm closing the book on worry, I'm closing the book on disappointment, I ain't gonna worry about it, not another day, but I'm gonna praise until something happens. I'm gonna praise until manifestation comes to live with my house in the name of Jesus. We are commanded to praise. And as for me and the things of me, I can make a decision for myself. I'm gonna praise Him. Yeah, yeah. Whatever the situation, I'm gonna praise. That's what you have to do. That's what the Lord is calling for us to do. Because if the church handles all of their problems like the world, where will the sinners go? Where will the world go? How shall we be saved? We have got to understand what we are to do. Be found praising. It don't matter that you don't feel like it. Praise him until you do. Yeah, yeah. We proved it today. When we sing and we close our eyes before God and we cry out before God, he comes in and he inhabits our praise. God is not going to cohabitate with mess, but he will live in the praise. You think something is missing? Invite God in through your praise. He's there all the time. You may have lost some things and stuff. You may have lost some love along the way from some people that you thought loved you. But you didn't lose God. You didn't lose Jesus. And he wants us to know this morning that we are to praise, that we are to cry out to him, and he will supply our strength. It's not on you all by yourself. I know that there were times when David thought that he was all by himself. There are times when those of us that have been serving God would like to throw in the towel. But God says, don't throw in the towel. Don't leave me in the fire by myself. I'm here to protect you. But when you come out of this fire, everything not like me will be burnt away. You will come out as pure gold. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now for these your people. And for those that have caught a hold of faith and realized that their answer is in praising you. And we're not going to stop dancing because things are going wrong. We're not going to start praising with our lips because we cannot see the end of the road. But Lord, we thank you for the revelation that says, keep your face before the Lord. And keep your mouth a praise in your mouth. We thank you for each person that has heard this word that is going to change and not enter into the spirit of death, but grab a hold of faith and believe you, God, for answers and for resolve. Lord, and we thank you for this precious key that you have given us, for not leaving us with our sorrows and our wrongs.
Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.